It's Samira.
And Ivy, and you are listening to Black, Broke and Brilliant.
Coming up on today's episode, we'll be discussing the Sunflower and Florence Givens recent online drama. So let's get straight into it.
So Sammy, how have you been this week?
This week, I have been stressed. I have assignments due, two deadlines for the same day, and historically I've been terrible at double deadlines. Like, how does one split up their time? How do you focus on both things at the same time? How do I go from here to there? I hate leaving things unfinished. So this whole pass and pass, do half, leave half, that's not for me. But I also thought I could get one of them out of the way and have time for the other. I still have not finished that first one. So it's been stressful. Plus I've been working too, and there's been birthdays. So how about you?
God, that's so intense. Do you remember, like, a while back when you were excited to do your master's? That's funny.
Who was that chick?
She's nowhere to be seen.
She ain't here.
Oh, God. Me, I'm okay. I mean, I was doing well until Matt Hancock decided to lock everything off again. This whole tier three thing, I'm not about it.
So annoying, because we have plans this weekend as well. It's going to be so nice. All of us girls.
Nice. And we just got our freedom back, you know? We literally just got our freedom.
We just got it back. And he said, nah, no thank you. Into lockdown you go. But then next week when it's Christmas, it's like, okay, we'll loosen lockdowns. You man can see your families and do re-te-te, free households. So it's not making sense to me.
No. This government actually just... it makes no sense. Straight vibes, as we have said before. Straight vibes.
Yeah, how has work been for you?
Notice how my voice went up there. It's been interesting. Today was fun because I spent the day like writing loads of different things to do in London. And then at the end of the day, Matt Hancock was like, listen, tier three, which basically meant that what I had spent the whole day working on was no longer relevant. So that was a waste of 6 hours. Yeah, that's how my week's going.
It's just annoying when it impacts like your work physically, like the time you have spent writing things, like fun things to do in London over Christmas. Matt says, do you know what? We're not doing anything in London over Christmas. It's cancelled.
Like, I'm going to have to rewrite the thing. Like, you can do an online Zoom class. You can bake some banana bread. You can go for a walk. Show how dead that is.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll come up with something people can do that doesn't require going outside.
Yeah, let's hope so. I'll figure it out.
Yeah. So, you feeling like we should get into this episode?
I'm so ready. It's going to be such a juicy one. Let's go.
I feel like people might start thinking this is another UK government one because we're just bitching about Matt Hancock. But anyways, right. So, this episode is about Chidera Egoru. She posted several stories on her Insta last weekend, basically calling out Florence Given for copying her work and calling out their management for allowing it to happen, because both of them are under the same management. So for those of you that aren't familiar with these two influencers, Chidera, aka The Sunflower, is a British Nigerian writer, activist, artist, and just general icon. She's written two books. Her first one is What a Time to Be Alone, which is the one we'll be discussing. And then the second book she wrote was How to Get Over a Boy. Now, Florence Given is also a writer, activist and artist. She published her first book this summer called Women Don't Owe You Pretty. And she's known for her illustrations and discussing feminism and sexuality on Instagram.
Yeah, so just an overview of the scandal. So these two actually used to be very good friends. And as Sammy said, they shared the same management. So Chidera published her first book in 2018 and Florence published hers this summer. So the first issue was that both books cover very similar themes. So they both discuss race, gender, sexuality, pretty politics and self-love. And the next issue is that they are both very similar stylistically. So they have the same color scheme. They're both pink, red, orange, yellow, and white. They both have the same format. So they both kind of weave illustrations, quotes, and artwork throughout their writing. And Chidera's book was basically the first of its kind. It was a hardback nonfiction color book made up of mini essays and original illustrations by the author. And Florence's also happened to fit into that category. So both books did very well. They're both popular, but Florence's has done insanely well. So Florence's book broke the record for having a book in the top five of the Sunday Times bestsellers list 12 times in a row. And she essentially covered the same topics, did the same thing as Chidera, but got twice as much praise, money and opportunities. So Chidera went public over the weekend expressing that she felt that Florence copied her book in terms of style and content. And she also revealed that she'd actually spoken to Florence and their management, who had developed both books, about the issue when it was still being made, and neither of them did anything.
The crazy thing is, I knew of Chidera's book and I'd seen it and I was like, this is so pretty, like such an aesthetically pleasing book. Like the colours are just amazing. And I hadn't even heard of like Florence Gibbon's book. But when you showed them to me side by side, it's actually ridiculous how similar they are. Even if you like, if you were to open the book and actually flip through the pages, you would not know which is which because it's literally so similar. But the crazy thing is, after the announcement that Chidera made, her management dropped her, meaning that she now isn't represented at all, and Florence is still on there with her books. And the thing is, this isn't the first time that Chidera has spoken up. Like earlier this year, Florence was making merchandise out of phrases that Chidera coined, and she asked her to stop selling them, which she did. And then in June, around the time that Florence's book came out, Chidera also messaged Florence saying, "I feel like a lot of my sentiments and style of delivery have been gentrified and put into your book," as well as expressing that she felt the style was copied too.
Yeah, it's a sticky one because I have both books, and I'm not even going to lie. When I ordered Women Don't Owe You Pretty, obviously I hadn't seen inside, and the second it actually arrived, I was like, this looks like Chidera's book. Like, it almost looks like one is the sequel to the other. They are so similar. And so I guess Chidera is basically claiming that Florence has copied her book. And just off the bat, I can completely see why. The difficult thing is that Florence does reference Chidera throughout her book. She kind of explains that she learned a lot from her and that she's read Chidera's works over the years, and that she also kind of credits her for helping her to develop her understanding of intersectional feminism. So she is giving her credit, but it's also a sticky one because her book is doing so much better. Like, it's getting so much more money and so much more praise, and so many more people are buying it. But it's also covering very similar topics, and it's also kind of based off of some of the ideas that Chidera has come up with. For example, one of the things Florence said in her book was that, "I want to acknowledge that the sections in this book on my understanding of prettiness, desirability, privilege, unconscious bias and systems of oppression didn't just fall into my head. I had to listen and I had to learn predominantly from Black women." So she's literally said in her book that she has developed her understandings basically because of Black women and the work they have put out there. She's credited them. She's not plagiarizing them. But at the same time, like, is it okay to kind of run with these ideas and now write a whole book that does really well? Money goes into her pocket, and these Black women who have actually come up with these concepts and have shared their ideas are kind of being overlooked.
This is why intersectionality is so important, because for the longest time, like when first wave feminism was around, who was at the forefront? It was white middle-class women saying that we're treated differently because we're not men, but you're still white, you're still middle class. And it was neglecting the experience of women of colour, of Black women, and how it's this double-edged sword where not only are they women, but they are also Black or women of colour. So this is why intersectionality is so important. So like, yeah, it's great that Florence is highlighting that and saying how important it is, but as someone who doesn't fit that category, it's like, okay, you've obviously had to get those sources and get that information from someone else. And it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, maybe it might hit differently coming from someone else's mouth, but at the same time, it's just like those ideas and those concepts, she said it, that she's obviously like taken it from Chidera and obviously like used her to gain information and stuff. So it is a bit of a sticky one, because obviously you want people talking about intersectionality, just doing it in the correct way where it's not like I'm monetizing everything you've said here. But yeah, just another example is that in Chidera's book, there's a quote that says, "I do not owe anybody pretty. Whichever state I show up in will always be enough." And Florence's book is literally titled "Women Don't Owe You Pretty." So when you see that, it's a bit hard to not be like, fam, you copied the book.
Copied the whole book.
Like, friends in school, can I see your test? Can I see your work? And just copy that. She took the quote and was like, do you know what? I'm going to, that's such a great quote. I'm going to make it the title of my book.
It's the audacity for me. It's mad because, like, it's not even that Chidera necessarily came up with the concept of owing anyone pretty or pretty politics. It's not that, but it's like, it's not a coincidence that they are friends, that they have the same management, that they are discussing the same things, that they have the same colour scheme, that they're using the same phrases. It's not a coincidence. At the end of the day, Chidera's book came out 2 years ago. Florence was very vocal about reading it and learning from it. All of a sudden, it's 2020, her book has appeared. It's basically the same thing, and she's getting all the credit. It's like, it's hard because I think Florence is definitely partly at fault, but it's our society that lets that happen. It's almost mad that people would rather hear about intersectional feminism from a white woman than from a black woman. It's very strange.
Yeah, and I think it was like same, same, but no difference. I don't know if they thought that was 2 years ago. People have forgotten. If we show them the exact same thing, maybe they won't notice. Trust me, we noticed. And Flo has chapters in her book called You Are the Love of Your Own Life and Protect Your Energy, which discusses self-love, taking the time to get to know yourself, going on dates with yourself, which is literally the premise of Chidera's book. So you can see how things are getting a bit techie.
Yeah, it's so hard as well because Florence definitely does discuss other things. Like, she does discuss queer politics and transphobia, as well as sexual abuse and consent. And Chidera's book doesn't do that. But like, the actual premise and like the main body of text is discussing the exact same issues. I guess she's just putting her own spin on it. But it just feels like almost unjust when someone's already done that same thing, but they're not getting the credit for it. And basically, in response to what Chidera said online, Florence put on her story a statement saying, "My book has introduced important, not revolutionary or groundbreaking, concepts to women through the sharing of my own experiences and art," which is crazy because she's actually recognizing that she hasn't said anything new. She's literally acknowledging that she hasn't said anything that's mind-blowing whatsoever, but people are like buying her books like crazy, almost discussing it as if it is the next best thing since sliced bread. And everything in that book has already been said by several people of color, but they're not getting any recognition for it. So I completely get why Chidera is annoyed. Like, I would be fuming if money was going into Florence's pocket after I already said everything in that book 2 years before.
Yeah, and I think one of the annoying things is the way in which white people get applauded for doing the bare minimum. Like, I'm sure there are loads of great things about Florence's book. Like, I haven't read it, but you have read it. You've said it's great. But I feel like it's that thing where, like, a white person acknowledges their white privilege and expects the room to clap for them.
Yeah.
And so the way you said that, like, she hasn't introduced anything new or revolutionary, maybe she's just collected together all the great things other people have said, other people of colour have said, and, you know, put it in a nice, pretty book that's aesthetically pleasing and just roll with it. But I think another big question we need to ask ourselves is, should white women have a voice in the conversation about intersectional feminism, or should they just pass the mic?
Man, that is such a big question. It's so difficult because, as we've seen, especially this year, it's not enough to just not be racist. You have to be actively anti-racist. And I think it's almost more imperative for white people who have privilege and have power and have platforms to use their voices and discuss racism. At the end of the day, we live in a world that has white supremacy. We live in a world where there is institutional racism and everyday racism, and these forms of oppression are coming from white people who are at the top. So these people do need to be having these discussions. It just gets a bit difficult when they're almost speaking on behalf of people of color or speaking on behalf of marginalized people. It's like one thing discussing those topics and shedding light on situations. It's just another thing taking up space where a person of color could just discuss their own experience. But I don't know, it's hard as well, because with Florence, I think one thing that is great about her is that she is happy to call any white person out on their BS, basically. Like, she acknowledges her white privilege so much. And I think that is refreshing. And I think that can be a great thing, especially for other white people, because I think sometimes white people get defensive when black people call them out. But if a white person is saying, listen, you have all this privilege, so maybe that message will come across more easily. I don't know. But at the same time, yeah, it's a sticky one when white people are trying to speak to people of color. That just feels like a part of the problem.
Yeah, definitely. What was I saying? Oh yeah, like in correspondence between the two. So I think Chidera posted like some screenshots, and Florence was stating how she does have blind spots in areas of the discussion where she like lacks knowledge, understanding or experience because she isn't a person of color. And Chidera literally said like pass the mic. So again, she is acknowledging the fact that, you know, she doesn't know everything and she hasn't experienced everything because she is a white woman with privilege. And again, I think, as you said, that is definitely important. Like, we can't just fight the fight ourselves. Like, we do need other people to back us. And it is great that she's doing that. I want to understand how this was allowed to happen. Like, I understand that, you know, Florence, again, she's also an illustrator and activist. Ideas were similar, but how it gets to the point where this thing has been published and it's literally an exact copy of a book that already exists of someone who used to be your friend, how that whole system was allowed, that whole process, how that was allowed to go forward, and she was comfortable with that going forward, because she obviously said that she based a lot of her things on what Chidera had said, Chidera's book. She knows what the book looks like. So how you were like, cool, yeah, let's run with that. There's a lot of things at work here.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And I think we just like, we need to discuss the publishers, because I don't understand. They represent both women. They knew what both women were trying to do, and they somehow allowed them to create two books that are pretty near identical. And the crazy thing is, like I was saying earlier, Chidera actually went to management and said, I don't feel comfortable with Florence's book looking like this or discussing these issues because it's very similar to mine. And she also went to Florence and said, I'm not comfortable because your book looks exactly like mine. And even after that happened and they knew that there was an issue, they were still happy for things to go ahead and be published. Like, I don't even know. It's mad because we know that the publishing industry is like predominantly white. So I get that like every now and then they might overlook something, but for a black person to come to you in the year of 2020 and say, this is not okay, this is copy and paste, this is plagiarism, this is doing something off of the back of my hard work, change it. And for them to say no, for Florence to also say no, and then for her to speak publicly on the situation and for them to drop her, I'm like, how did we get from there to here? How is this allowed? How is this actually allowed?
It's all wild, and it just reminds me how mad people will move. There were far too many similarities for this to go down. Like, same management, them being of like same concepts, same ideas, both illustrator, same publisher. I just don't understand how, as a publisher, yeah, you want range in the books you publish because then more people are bound to read them. But you said, here's a book from 2 years ago, let's do the exact same thing and not even change the colors. Not even the color scheme was different. That's wild for me. That is wild for me, because it's just, it shows like a lack of respect for Chidera, for you to just like take her original idea, her concept, her whole book, and just be like, cool, we're just going to do the exact same thing, make a second one that's going to be far more successful. It's like, do you not have that respect for the author who you obviously had spent lots of time with and developed that relationship, and now you're just going to flush that away? But Sorry, something you were saying before about whether or not it should be for like a white woman to speak up on the experiences of people of color. It just reminded me of a book by Robin DiAngelo, who is a white woman, called White Fragility. And basically the definition of like white fragility is the tendency amongst members of a dominant white culture group to have defensive, wounded, angry, dismissive responses towards black people. So it's almost like the thought of they're gonna take over, they're gonna do this, they're gonna do that, and always feeling like they need to be the dominant ones and have the voice. Instead of just taking a step back and just listening to what people of color have to say. So it kind of reminded me of her book. And also I watched an interview with Robin DiAngelo, and she was saying like there are moments still where she has to like check herself, or she's reminded of like her white privilege again. Like she still accepts that she has it and is still learning, like there are still moments where she gets tripped up or she'll assert that white privilege and not even realize. But I think people also fail to see it from like the other side. But yeah, this whole publishing, like I don't understand it, really and truly. I don't understand it.
I don't know how we ended up here. I don't know how Chidera was done dirty and now she has no publisher. I don't know how that happened. But yeah, in terms of like the wider conversation, it is a difficult one, because I think conversations about white privilege do need to happen. And I think one of the things I did actually really like about Women Don't Owe You Pretty was that Florence is just so open about, I guess, how her privileges allow her to kind of live life in a certain way. And she constantly kind of repeats that theme and hammers it in throughout the book. For example, she says, whether I thought I was attractive or not, for the first time, I had to acknowledge the objective fact that I sit high on the society scale of desirability by being slim, non-disabled and white. And it's just refreshing hearing a white person say that. But at the same time, people of color have been saying that for years, for decades. Like this is not revolutionary that if you are white and slim and non-disabled, you have privilege. Like it's not revolutionary. I just think it's shocking people that a white person is saying it. And it's interesting because I've spoken to like so many of my friends who have read the book and who are white, who are like, oh my God, this is the best book ever. Even one of my really good friends was like, can you discuss the book or review the book on the podcast? And it's such a tricky one because I do really like the book, but I'm just so torn because I think it is so good that she is discussing intersectional feminism and how people and white people specifically can be better. But it's just weird when like, maybe weird isn't the right word. It just feels unfair for Florence Given to be considered as woke and to be profiting off of discussing these things that people of color have been trying to discuss in public and have people listen for years. Like it's just, yeah, I don't know. There's something that doesn't sit right with me on that.
It's weird. It's almost like a double-edged sword, because on the one hand, it's a good thing that it's coming from Flo and people are resonating with it in a way that they wouldn't have before. Like maybe like other white women would not have engaged with that kind of issue or context, or it might not have come to mind to them before. But obviously seeing her book, reading it from her words, as someone that they can identify with and be in a similar situation with, they can come to realize their own privilege and make those same acknowledgements and realizations. But then on the other hand, it's like, this is also part of the problem, is that when a black woman is saying it, it's falling on deaf ears. When a white woman is saying it, you man are ready to listen. Oh my gosh, she's so woke. I want to be like her. This is how I'm going to acknowledge my white privilege. That's the issue. So it's weird because at the same time, yeah, it's bringing the right issues to the forefront. It's great that she's discussing these topics, that she, you know, will call out people on their BS. But at the same time, it's just another perfect example of how a white woman's voice has been selected over a black woman's voice. Like, there was this Instagram account actually called Radical Love with a great quote. And it said, the issue is that two women said the same thing. One was black, one was white. The one that was listened to, excessively promoted, deemed groundbreaking, and ultimately became incredibly successful was the most consumable of the two, the white woman. And that's the big issue, really.
That just sums it up so well. Like, what more is there to say than that? It literally is just that. And it's so difficult because I think this issue is far bigger than Florence. Like, it's our society that allows this to happen. And I think when Black women do speak up, they're just so quick to be labelled as aggressive. But now a white woman is saying the same thing. It's like, oh my God, that's so revolutionary. And yeah, I don't think Florence is trying to be like the white savior. I don't think it's white guilt. I don't think she's actively trying to take up space. But because of the society we live in, where people are going to favor white voices, it just ends up with Black people being overlooked yet again. So that quote is actually bang on, like, summarized it so perfectly.
Yeah, indeed. Because ultimately what Florence is trying to do is a good thing. Like, she's trying to share that knowledge. Again, she said that, like, it's nothing groundbreaking. She can only talk about, like, her experience with each topic that she's been impacted by and her own understanding of it. But at the same time, without trying to take up space, she's taking up space. And in this example, obviously, I realize it's not all completely her fault, but, like, not only has that space been taken up, it's almost been replaced, because that whole topic, idea, concept was where Chidera's book sat. Now Chidera's book has been pushed to the side and Florence's book is now sitting there. So physically taking up space, but also because of speaking out, Chidera has now been dropped from management. So her money, her pee, she's not making that right now, but who is? It's Florence. And I get she's doing a great thing, but how we as a society just allow this to happen. Again, the whole publishing industry, the way they were just so quick to, like, replace it is just a bit mad.
And it's peak because Chidera came up with a whole concept. It was the first book of its kind. She had a whole unique selling point, and Florence just said, nah, it's mine now. And the mad thing is, when you Google Chidera's book, Florence's book comes up, like, without even paying any attention to Florence. You might not even know she exists, yet she is being promoted when you are just trying to read Chidera's work. And that something about that is not okay.
Correct. And this lets you know that it's the whole system that is racist. Like, this lets you know how deep white supremacy works, because somebody fully had to sit there with their search engine optimization to type in that when you look for Chidera's book, you find Florence's book. When you search this title is going to come up. When you look up feminism, intersectionality, all of them things there, Florence's book is going to come up. Like, that didn't just happen by accident or by chance. Like, the tech, even the technology and the data has been maneuvered in a way that where this Black woman's book is, this white woman's book is going to pop up too. And that just doesn't sit well in my chest.
No, you know it's bad when the data is also racist. Like, that is just, that's how deep it is. That is actually how deep it is. And it's crazy because I was reading about that earlier, that when you Google Chidera's book, Florence's comes up, and I Googled it for myself. And the crazy thing is that not only was Florence's one of the first one that was suggested, when you scroll down the page, like, there's a link that has the title of Chidera's book, but it has the picture of Florence's book. And if you click on the link, it takes you to Florence's book. So if you're just reading the words, you're thinking you're being sent to Chidera's page. Lo and behold, you will end up on Amazon with a link to Florence's book. You just can't make this stuff up.
Joking, you're joking.
It's mad. It's actually mad.
The thing is, that is physically taking money away from Chidera, because if someone is going with the intent to purposely search for Chidera's book and you're clicking on it thinking you're buying Chidera's book, where the two look very similar and the concepts are the same, and the one that's popping up is Florence's book, that is wild. And you not want to tell me that you haven't copied my book and my concept, but when people want to try and buy it, yours is coming up. I would move mad too. I would even be moving madder than she is moving.
It's, yeah, because her response has been quite, like, contained. Like, she's obviously been annoyed, but she hasn't been kicking off. I would be fuming. Imagine, because she's literally taking money out of Chidera's pocket and putting it into her own pocket. At the same time, she's trying to explain how intersectional feminism works and how Black people go through all of these things that prevent them from progressing in life. And we start life 10 steps behind and white people start life 10 steps ahead. Yet she is happy to know that money is being directed out of Chidera's purse into hers. Like, I don't know how the irony is lost on her. It's also, like I said before, it's it's just shocking that Chidera brought this up before the book even came out and Florence didn't do anything about it as someone who claims to be like the most woke person in town. It's just like, imagine you have spent time, you've created a whole book, you've written a book, you've filled it with your own artwork, you've done something that's never been done before. Someone else comes along, says, listen, because I've read your works, I now am way more insightful and I'm going to write my own book. They basically base the title off of something they read in your book, write your name in their book several times and copy the same concepts. And then suddenly they're way richer than you. They're getting all of these opportunities and their book is a bestseller. That is just what Black women go through on the daily, really,
on a regular. And then to think, let me just add your name at the back and that will equal everything out. It's just the fact that so much goes into writing a book. So Chidera's came out in 2018. If you think of how it's a thick book as well, the amount of words and writing that takes, and it's not easy to write things when you have to double check and go over and that's not correct and let me rephrase, to do that for pages and pages of work. So she's already spent like months working on that, and then all of the illustrations are original as well, and there are so many pictures in Chidera's book which she did all herself to get the coloring correct, the color scheme. There's so much work that goes into it, how to promote it, the PR. All of that she did 2 years, and then for 2 years later, this white woman's come in. The entire concept, same thing. So all of your hard work, again, they just skip. Already starting 10 steps ahead, has skipped all of those steps. And now wants to come and give you little bibliography, Chidera, Egaru in the back, and think that's cool. Where it's like, it's not only her words, it's the concept and the idea and the fact that it's, all of that hard work is now almost just being replaced, and the ease of which it happened. And it would be one thing if they weren't the same management and they weren't the same publishing, and Chidera had no idea that this book was being published and it was just by chance she saw it and it was all a coincidence. But same management, same publishing, they're on the same roster. She clocked everything was the same from months before, and you still ran with it. You were still okay and happy to run with it, knowing that this would make you so much money and profit and revenue off of someone else's idea. That is just inexcusable.
Also, like, they're meant to be friends. Sammy, if you did that to me, I'm not being funny, there would be no more Black Broken Brilliant. That would be it. Like, do you know how rude that is to take money out of your friend's pocket? Your friend who is Black and is obviously talking about their difficulties going through life and living in a racist society, and you've gone and taken money from that person. Like, that is the ultimate form of betrayal.
Like, in your book, talk about intersectionality and how we should not be taking up space meant for Black people and people of colour and let them create their coin, whilst also in real life doing that exact same thing. Is the irony for me. And the thing is, this is just the story of a Black woman's life, where you create something revolutionary because we're creative and brilliant, and just women of colour, you create something so original and revolutionary, people don't bang with it. Someone else does it. A white person does it. It's more palatable, more consumable, and boom, it's the best thing on the planet. And it's just that it's just so constant. But to see it happen so baitly and without any sort of remorse whatsoever, I can't even begin to think how she's feeling, because it's not only has her book, her concept, her whole idea been copied, but then to also be dropped from your management. So she's now like out of pocket. All of these deals and things she had coming up are now just gone.
Yeah. Like, she fully got the raw end of the deal on top of all of the racism. Like, come on. It's also peak because before the book had been released, or before there were like any images of what the book was going to look like, basically Chidera wrote in like a very little review. She basically said, Florence is an absolute powerhouse. And on the first set of copies, Florence got the publishers to basically put that review on the front cover of the book. So Chidera was basically promoting Florence's book on the front cover to increase sales, because people trust what Chidera has to say, but not enough to go and buy her book. Like, you can't.
You can't There was there's too much racism that went into that thought process. There was too much white supremacy that went into that thought process for me. I can't. I know you want to say Florence is great, she's amazing, she's for the cause, she's woke. But how are you going to do that? How are you gonna do that? Your friend whose concept you quote unquote were inspired by, whose concept you copied, and you said, you know what? If I get her to endorse the book, that's an exact copy of her book, maybe she won't notice them. Oh my goodness. White supremacy is mad. Do you see how deep it is? The levels.
The levels, like, why?
We will copy your book. We will put your quote praising this book, the plagiarized book, on the front. Wow.
Like, are you not ashamed? Are you not embarrassed? Is this not embarrassing?
It's so embarrassing. Wow. You have no clue.
No shame whatsoever. Like, it's just, it's not even funny. Imagine, and poor Chidera was just trying to be a good friend. Like, let me go support my friend Flo. Let me go leave her a nice review. Lo and behold, it's published on the front cover and she's promoting something she didn't clock she was promoting. Nah.
It's a snake. It's a snake. I'm sorry. I don't care if she is an angel herself, but imagine what it must have felt like being Chidera to see that book and then to see your quote. That from your own words, your own mouth, that you said on the front of the book that is a copy of your book. I can't.
So you're endorsing the plagiarism. I can't. The layers. Like, white supremacy never sleeps. It's just, it's wide awake at all times.
Unbeknownst to her, that, oh my god, unbeknownst to her, that the quote where she was endorsing her friend's book would be on the very front page, maybe even the very thing that is promoting the sales of this book that is a copy of her own. I can't. There's something about that doesn't sit right in my chest. That's how you know it's been plotted. Plotted.
Plotting, just plotting. Nah. Moving like J-Hus. Plotting every day. That's ridiculous. It's You see what we go through. You see what we go through in this world. Like, it's not even funny. And then Chidera posted some screenshots of convos she had with Florence back in June as well. And Florence said that she hired a diversity reader as she didn't want to make any sweeping statements about womanhood that only pertain to her experience as a cis white woman. To which Chidera responded, imagine needing a diversity reader for your own memoir. If you need a diversity reader, you need to pass the mic. Why are you writing a book on feminism if you have many blind spots, aka a lack of experience? And points were made. She did not stutter. So I have no choice but to agree with her. Like, imagine hiring a diversity reader to make sure that you are being inclusive enough, to make sure that you are saying the right things on other people's behalf. Why is that something that happens when you could just get a person of color to write the thing? You know, it's like,
listen, do you know what? This is giving me Matt Hancock vibes. When she says a diversity reader, that doesn't necessarily mean black person. Diversity reader does not necessarily mean black woman. Diversity reader does not necessarily mean woman of color or person of color. It could be some ambiguous person. It might even be a white person who just thinks they're so woke, a diversity expert.
Diversity of thought situation.
No, I'm getting a lot of Hancock vibes from this. How can you say diversity reader? Like,
no, how can you say that with your chest?
With your chest, as if it's supposed to make everything okay. Oh, no, it's okay, guys. She's got a diversity reader. It's cool. It's balanced. We'll get our side too, because, you know, there's a diversity reader. Who is this diversity reader? Someone is out here making money, making pee from being a diversity reader, and they still manage to miss the mark.
Like, at the point where you need to hire a diversity reader, that's when you should realize, this ain't for me. I'm stepping out of my territory. It's not for me, because there are people who actually are in these, who are living these lives. There are people who actually have these identities who could just speak for themselves. So maybe I don't need to hire someone who's going to tell me how to speak on their behalf. It's actually quite simple, you know?
the thing is,
also, sorry, I have to. I'm sorry. Considering that Chidera's book had already come out and done all the things, why are you now going out of your way to get a diversity reader to make sure you can also do the thing when the thing has already been done 2 years previous?
It's been done by a person of color, so why do you need to come and do it and then hire a diversity reader? The thing is, if we look at the word, it says diversity reader, yeah, not diversity writer. So someone might just say, you know what, I read that, I don't think it's diverse enough. But then what can they do next? Because either way, she's still a white woman. So what diversity can she bring? Because it doesn't say diversity writer. That's the point where you pass the mic and you bring in someone who is diverse, someone who is disabled or trans or a person of color, and you say, do you know what, this is where I hand over the rest of this chapter to this person who is diverse. But this is diversity reader, which means they're just reading her stuff being like, oh no, you can't use that word. Yeah, no, that one's not for you. You're coming across right there. Where is the diversity coming from? You have someone reading, but who is writing?
I would love to know. Like, It's genuinely just shocking. It's just shocking. She also...
What if the diversity reader was Chidera herself back when she was reading the manuscript and she didn't know it? If they said, "Yo, Chidera, can you just read this quick preview pages and just let us know what you think, if the language is okay, if it sounds diverse enough," and then come and shake the woman, and then later on be like, "Do you know what? I had a diversity reader." What if? I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm not saying it's fact, but I would not be surprised because they got my girl to quote herself praising the book and then put it on the cover. That's bad mind.
You know what, that would be a plot twist and a half, but I could see it. I wouldn't put it past these people. I really wouldn't. It's also like the logical thing to do is, if you want to talk about the experiences of people of color, you could literally just get people of color to write a segment of your book and pay them. Like, you don't have to speak on their behalf. You don't have to hire a diversity reader. You don't have to do any of that. I don't know how we ended up here, because this was not a necessity. No one asked you for this.
Who was asking you? That's the thing. It's like, you don't have to do the most. You don't have to do the most. No one is asking you to know everything about being diverse, because you're not. But what you can do is segue into someone else. Use that as an opportunity to elevate someone else who is of that quota, who is of that background, who has experienced that, and it's an opportunity to elevate them. But no, you might always want to do the most, and it all has to be about you. And you know what? I'm going to do it all, and I'm going to get a diversity reader to make sure that it's all balanced and diverse. No, it's not every day. Sometimes you pass the mic, elevate someone else, pay them their coin, and that's how you do it and still get the message across the right way without taking up space. But instead, you're segueing and you're presenting others who do have the knowledge and who don't have those blind spots. It's actually okay to do that. And I don't know why people aren't okay with just passing the buck sometimes. When I don't know things, I'm like, Ivy, talk about that thing there. I don't need to force it if I don't know.
I didn't even know a diversity reader was a thing. The fact that you have researched to find someone that can catch your biases, that should not be a thing when you can just hire someone black, or you can just hire someone trans. Do you know how deep that is?
Bias catcher. Yes. Diverse reader.
Yes.
Word corrector. Fam, do you know what? I could do with some extra P right now. Let me be a diversity reader for someone's book. I beg. Because people are out here making money as diversity reader. Please, where do I sign up?
You have to make the coin somewhere, so you might as well. Also, I've just pulled up the screenshot from one of Florence's messages where she's talking about the diversity reader, and it gets worse. I have a feeling you're correct. I have a feeling the diversity reader was of the Caucasian persuasion, because Florence said, "The diversity reader was actually telling me to write more and more about black women in her notes to me, but I told my editor it was going too far and this wasn't my place to go. My meetings were full of white PR people. It made me uncomfortable that only straight white people had seen my manuscript."
You know when you can just sense whiteness? You can just taste it in the air. I literally called it. Do you know another reason why? Because in any industry, whenever there is some kind of seminar or event on diversity and inclusion, and you walk into the room, it's all white people. Yes. the diversity and inclusion experts are obviously white people. And so how can your diversity read, fam? It's the fact that she noticed it herself. There isn't enough black content, and I said that would be going too far. Yes. Like, you haven't already gone far enough. Nope. To speak on a black woman's experience, that would be going too far. And no black diversity reader would say, no, I think you should talk more about black people.
Isn't it?
Because you can't.
Sammy, deep this. Someone is being paid to tell white women to speak more on the black female experience. That person is probably getting paid a hefty sum to give this advice. Like, I...
This whole publishing industry just needs to be refreshed, because... at the start, I was genuinely joking, where I was like, oh, the diversity reader is probably, like, not someone of a diverse background, and lo and behold, until she wants to pull up the receipts and be like, this is my diversity read, I'm just at this point, because who would tell you need to write more about the experience of a black woman, and you said that's going too far? Who would suggest that, bar another white person? Probably another white woman, if I'm being honest.
And this is why it's so annoying. This is why we need black voices to be elevated. And this is why books like What a Time to Be Alone that Chidera wrote are so, like, epic. We need more black voices out there, because we would be there to tell you, do not do this. Correct. Diversity readers should not exist. They should all be fired with immediate effect. Stop it right now. We could tell you that very easily. We could tell you that for free. I don't need to be paid to tell you that. Yet, here we are. And it's in the same year of the Black Lives Matter movement, this is how we are moving. White women are saying to other white women, go talk, go speak on the black female experience. Like, this is what we are doing in the same 2020.
This is a prime example of how diversity of thought is not the freaking same as having actual diversity. Don't come and tell me diversity of thought and then get another white woman to tell a different white woman her book needs more diversity and needs more black voices, and she should write on the black experience. All of this diversity of thought, no, get it out. The thing is, these don't move as if there aren't people to do that. They move as if there aren't black people around who can read books and write these segments. Chidera did it. She wrote a whole book on it. They're moving as if there aren't people of colour who can write and read and do all of those things there. But they are still hell-bent on keeping the industry whiter than Snow White.
The crazy thing is, Chidera wrote on the same topics 2 years ago. So if they really, really needed a diversity reader, like, they already had someone do the original. Like, why would you outsource a white person to come and tell you if you are woke enough?
As you said, it's even more baffling that it's happening in 2020 after we've had a summer. And the thing is, obviously, Florence's book came out in the summer, where we've had a summer of Black Lives Matter protests, and where we've seen continuous killing of innocent black people at the hands of white people constantly. And we're out here saying our voice should matter, and brands and companies are saying, yes, we want to hear more from you, we need more diversity. In the same year, at the same time, you want to come and pull this madness copy off a black woman and then drop her and make her look mad for talking on her book. Like, just when you think we're making progress, so something like this happened, and it just lets you know that, like, we're just in the same place. And again, we've said it multiple times, the publishing industry as it is very, very white and middle class, and until that changes, issues like this are just going to keep on happening. And not even just the publishing industry, like, it happens in the beauty industry, in the makeup industry, in the influencer industries. The amount of black women who go to brands for, like, publishing, obviously they use brand stuff on their Instagram pages. Apparently, oh, sorry, there's not enough budget. We can only pay you 3K. But that white influencer over there is making 10 bags. Tell me how. Tell me how. So in loads of industries, it happens, and things really just need to change.
They do, like, from the top down, like, this ain't it. And I think it's safe to say that those black squares that were on our Instagram feed this summer were clearly very performative, because everything's just gone back to business as usual. Even after all of that, it's shocking. And like, it is so difficult, because Florence's book is good, and I don't think she's necessarily plagiarizing, even if she's copying themes and is like heavily influenced by Chidera, but like, it doesn't make it okay. It's tricky, because Florence is one of the white women who is very public and is actually fairly woke. Like, she does donate a load of her money from like the merch she sells to different charities. She does set up funds for a lot of trans people who are trying to go through surgery and don't have the money to pay for it. Like, she does actually do a lot that does help the community, but this has just missed the mark so much. And it's something that like crossed my mind when I first saw her book, and generally people didn't pick up on it. And it's just, in a way, I'm glad that Chidera has said something, because I think people, when I say people, I mean white people, I'm sorry, we need to have this conversation, because this happens too often, where white women create something off the back of another black woman and get all the credit. Like, it's just, it happens far too often. So like, I don't necessarily think it's all Florence's fault. I do think the publishers are trash. I think society has let this happen. I think the way data is programmed, the way SEO is programmed, has probably allowed her book to pop up when you search for Chidera's. But like, I just feel for Chidera. I just thought by now, I thought by 2020, we would have actually progressed a little bit. And I just feel like we're in exactly the same place as we always have been.
Yeah, 100%. But on the flip side, some great books to read by authors of colour that you should definitely check out. First one being What a Time to Be Alone and How to Get Over a Boy, both by Chidera. There's British by Afua Hirsch. There's Natives by Akala, which I'm currently reading. And White Supremacy by Layla F. Saad. And of course, Why I'm No Longer Talking to White People About Race by Rennie Edo Lodge. And if Chidera had that same sentiment, I would not be surprised. If her next book was Why I'm No Longer Talking to Florence Given, I'd read it. I won't lie.
I'd buy it. I'd buy all the copies. It would sell out. And if you want to share your thoughts on the episode, use the hashtag #BlackBrokeAndBrilliant on Twitter or message us on our Insta page. You know what to do.
Like, subscribe, share it, give us a rating if you're listening on Apple. Share it with your mums, your grands, your friends in publishing.
And we'll be back next Thursday. I've been Ivy.
I've been Samira. Thanks for listening.